Welcome to the Nieces Nugs Podcast. What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Nieces Nugs Podcast, Season 3, Episode 10. Today on the podcast, let's talk Aruba. Yes, that's right. You heard me. Aruba. I must admit, Aruba was not on my travel list this year, and it wasn't even close to be featured on the podcast. But all of that changed, and in a hurry, it sure did change. Now, I've done a little research on Aruba in the past, as I've had a few couples interested in taking their honeymoon there. But otherwise, it had always felt like a distant idea, a distant island. What I knew about Aruba intrigued me, though, as I had heard it had great weather, great water, great beaches, and I did hear it was very, very windy. I've also heard that outside of a little incident that may have happened 20 years ago there, it was a pretty safe place to travel to. So it's always been on my list, just never on the list for this year. But as spontaneous travel would have it, we went to Aruba in April. And today, I'm going to share about that trip, including the flights, the arrival, the airport, the island, and more. So here we go. Our girls had spring break in the first week of April, and I felt like we needed just a small little trip. There was a little bit of sense of let's get away. So I was thinking, let's get on a plane and go somewhere cheap in the United States. And so I went to my website, skiplagged.com, and as it popped up, the places you could fly for cheap, the place that really intrigued me and was unbelievably priced was Aruba. And the airline of choice, yep, happened to be Spirit, even better, because we had a voucher to take some money off from our delayed Orlando flight. So when I ended up buying these plane tickets at the airport, because they're cheaper to get them at the airport, and I used the voucher, I felt like we almost stole these tickets. Now, to get the best use out of these vouchers, sometimes you need to do some research, because when you buy a Spirit ticket, a lot of the fee is hidden in taxes and fees and not in the actual flight cost. And so in order for you to use your vouchers to the biggest extent, it can only be applied to the flight cost. So after doing some research and figuring out the best way to purchase these tickets, I go to the airport, buy these tickets, and we're getting ready to go. Now, this is only 2 weeks out, like no advance purchase, man, and we're ready to roll. So there's a couple things I have to get in place. One thing that I did learn is that Aruba requires kind of an arrival form to be filled out online, gives you a QR code to save, and basically you just show that. So it's good to have that and be ready to show that. Now, at the moment, I am still Spirit Gold, which is amazing because it allows us to check a bag and even to carry a bag on for free. We took advantage of this. We had our backpacks as well. We leave Myrtle Beach and we fly to Fort Lauderdale. Now, I can pick my Spirit seat for free because I am Gold, which is why I normally pick 13C. It is an exit row aisle seat. And the reason I choose this is for whatever reason on Spirit's algorithms, row 13 or the second exit row, depending on the plane size, is almost always the last row that they fill when they're filling seats. So if it's not a full flight, chances are you're going to have the entire row to yourself, which indeed I did. I've had this multiple times. Sometimes it fills up and then obviously you're sitting next to somebody. But I dealt with the issue of the girls not paying. They just kind of got whatever seats they were together. And we were on our way to Fort Lauderdale. Now, for the Fort Lauderdale to Aruba flight, I got an email about bidding on the big front seats. If you know anything about Spirit, they have a couple rows, which would be, quote unquote, first class, business class, in any other airline. In Spirit, there's no such thing, but they are big and they are nice, and there's only two seats, and they're very at the front of the plane. And my philosophy was, look, if I can get off the plane quick, get to the customs hall fast, and I can enjoy my flight, we're going to be that much more pleasant the entire trip. So these seats, normally you buy them for $150 to $200 per pop. I got an email talking about bidding, and it's kind of a game. You kind of watch how they fill up and things like that. But I only bid, I think I bid $45, maybe $50 per seat, which you would have paid for if you picked your seat on Spirit anyways. And we won. And so we ended up getting the first rows of Spirit Airlines, big front seats. The girls were happy. We were happy. We were the first ones off the plane. It was amazing. Now, but before I get there, let's talk about the layover in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale Airport has grown. It has undergone renovations. There are several nice things about it. There's also some things that aren't super great. There's not a lot of lounge options, though there is some options for lounge that you can get in with your American Express card, even if you're not flying on a Delta flight, things like that. And so that lounge is kind of found over between G, E, F, all in that area over near where the food court is. There's also, for us, what we did, we didn't have an extremely long layover, so we went and got Pei Wei, which is related to P.F. Chang's. And I'm going to tell you what, those meals were heavy, nice, substantive meal, able to split, and the girls were happy. Mom and Dad were happy. It was amazing. So we take our seats in the big front seats, and keep in mind that if you bid on these and win them, if you have made purchases on other seats, those are non-refundable. So you just have to consider what you were willing to do. At the end of the day, it honestly doesn't matter where you sit. But for us, we just kind of budgeted it and realized it's not a big deal, and so we're going to go with it. Now, as we were landing and as we were going to the gate, the flight attendants got on and said that we needed to return to the airport 4 hours before departure, and we were like, excuse me? Did we just hear him say 4 hours? Yeah, we don't do that, so what is that about? And I'll explain a little bit about that later, and so we just kind of took note of that, and we were like, let's research that and get back to it. So we get off the plane. We take the arrival staircase down into customs. If you're just traveling as adults, you're able to use a machine. But I guess because we had minors, we were sent to specific people. It did not take long at all. Then you go down another set of stairs to the baggage room. While we were waiting on our bag, we used restrooms. So there are restrooms there. Our bag comes out. We enter the exit line, which had some baggage agents stopping people for custom inspection. We were able to skip through that, thank goodness. So if you get caught, it just kind of open up like any other country that you go to. And so you walk out the front doors of the airport, and as soon as you walk out, just like almost every Caribbean country there is, there are people greeting you, trying to haggle you to get your service for them to use, or you to use them for whatever they're offering. But we had a rental car booked with Enterprise. And so as soon as I walk out the arrivals building, I could see the building two lanes over from traffic where the Enterprise office was. So we walk across, and I went inside to check in. Now, I rented through Enterprise because I get a corporate discount through Enterprise, but also you could use Costco Travel. I compared the two prices, and renting through Enterprise and using my corporate discount, it actually gave us free booster seats as well, which was a huge plus because we're going to be driving around the island and we didn't have to pay extra to get the girls some safety seats. Now, let me say this. This was the best Enterprise customer service I have ever had. It was almost too good to be true. In fact, I kind of had to pinch myself and be like, are they just trying to swindle me here? Check-in was quick. Check-in was nice. They were courteous. They walked me specifically to the back of the building where our car is. It's parked in the first parking space. They walk around. They bring the seats out. They ask if we need anything. Then they also explain to us how we get the car back and where we return. Just and fantastic people. And so we are on our way. We're off. Our plan is to run to our Airbnb. I rented an Airbnb. And for us, the Airbnb, we wanted it to be centralized because we wanted to be able to go anywhere on the island quickly, and we also didn't care if it was on the beach because we were going to go to different beaches. So it was an amazing place that we had a little pool in the back. It was perfect. It was a little new condo right near where the aloe plant was, two-bedroom, two-bath, bottom floor, and a backdoor access to a pool and patio. Definitely would stay there again. Had a full kitchen and just great. So we're on our way. One thing I noticed as you exit the airport and on the way there is there are zero lights. There are zero traffic lights. There are roundabouts everywhere. And guess what? People know how to use them. Some of them are single lanes. Some of them are double lanes. And even some triple lane roundabouts. And guess what? They work. It's amazing. People know how to do it. In fact, as I drove around the island, I only saw one emergency traffic light on the island. There might be more, but I only saw one. So we go to the Airbnb, we change, and we hit the road to begin exploring. We had a couple hours before kind of sun started to set and before we wanted to figure out some dinner stuff. So we go up to the California Lighthouse, which is at the northwest part of the island. The entire island is maybe 20 miles by 6 miles, but we go to the complete northwest part of the island and kind of go up. And as you're going up, you can kind of see the terrain changing, which is incredible. On one half of the island, north side of the island, it's very rocky. And you kind of see this as you're going up to see the California Lighthouse. And it's incredible to see the difference between the terrain. We hung out there. It was pretty windy. We didn't actually go up into the lighthouse, but we just took some pictures. There's some dune buggy tours that were pulling up there as well. And so just a fun little place to go. There's also a restaurant there that kind of overlooks down. You can, from there, you can see the ocean and beaches on both sides. Just beautiful. Now, from there, we went down to Arashi Beach, one of the nice beaches there in Aruba, and we spent some time in the water. Now, there's some good spots. One thing's true about Aruba is most of their beaches, if not all of their beaches, are public, except for if it's connected to a resort. And what's amazing about this is they have, on most every beach, some sort of palapa, umbrella, shade spot. And if you get there, you can kind of claim them depending on if they're open. And so we got there. There was actually one there that had kind of coverage. So we put our stuff up there. We didn't have to put it in the sand, hung some of our things up, and then we got into the water. The water was beautiful. There at Arashi, some of the spots are rocky, but it was a beautiful beach, great water. Stuff was, there were some breaking waves, things like that, but our girls loved it. Spent some time there, showered off, and then we went to the Superfoods Plaza grocery store. Listen, if you're in Aruba, get to know Superfoods. It is a great place. Kind of reminds me of a big Aldi, amazing place to buy groceries, super nice people. We went several times, and there wasn't a moment where it wasn't busy. But as we walk through, what we see is some of the prices are super high. So those things that they import, especially United States imports, very, very expensive. However, there are some things that are very affordable. And if you're willing to try new brands, if you're willing to try especially some Dutch brands and things like that, you can get some great deals. And as you go through, what you'll see is that there are prices in Aruban florin, and then there's also some U.S. prices. And so you have to kind of figure out what's what. Aruban florin is higher than the U.S. prices in the sense of it's more, but it actually means it's less for you. And so we bought some things for dinner that night and breakfast the next morning where I would cook it and things like that. We went to check out. We were going through, and she asked if it was expensive. And she told me the price in Aruban florin, but then she told me the U.S. price, and she said, is that expensive to you? And I said, honestly, it's less than what I expected to pay. So I was very pleasantly surprised with the prices. Obviously, you can buy a lot and get in trouble, but it was good. The next morning, we got up, we made breakfast, and we hit the road down to Baby Beach, which is on the far southeast of the island. It maybe took us 20 to 25 minutes to get there because we went through some small towns and different things, and we weren't in a real hurry at all. So on the far southeast of the island, it is known because it is place where babies can go swim, especially as you get to one side of Baby Beach. Baby Beach is a half moon area beach with a lagoon and some calm waters. If you get to the other side where the water is kind of coming in, it's actually more, there are some waves and things like that. But listen, we got there early enough to get a free umbrella on the beach, a free spot, a little cabana, if you will. There's also a spot, if you don't, to rent clamshells and chairs. And I think it's maybe $40 for the day, nothing crazy. There's a couple of restaurants down there, beautiful area. There were tons of birds, which is kind of weird, but the place was beautiful. Great water, not much snorkeling right there in Baby Beach because it's very sandy. There's not a lot there. But if you go out a little bit, you can find some things. One thing I want to point out is for several years, there's been a rumor that they were going to build a Secrets resort there at the south end of the island. And it got blocked and different things, and finally it was approved, and they were actually working on construction of that. So if you're on Baby Beach and kind of look up on the cliff, there is a Secrets Resort. I do not know how this is going to affect the Baby Beach and the environment and things like that. There's some concerning things about it. But if you are going to that Secrets and staying and not going down to the beach, it won't have any direct beach front. It'll have beach access if you go down, maybe golf carts, things like that. But if you're just going to stay at the resort and hang out at the pool and look out the ocean, it's probably a little nice place to be. But I'm interested to see how that affects the local Baby Beach and things like that. Now, after we left Baby Beach, we drove back through San Nicolas. San Nicolas is a cool little spot. Paintings, murals on the wall, shops, really cute little town. So we stopped there. And then we also stopped at several beaches on the way back to downtown, if you will. Grabbed some coconut shrimp for my wife at the West Deck. That's what she wanted. And then we went downtown to shop. There was a cruise boat in port. And so you kind of have to check the schedule there. I don't think there's more than one cruise ship, maybe two cruise ships at a time that come in. So you just need to keep your eye on that, especially if you're downtown. and traffic was getting a little crazy as people were coming back to get on their cruise ship. Here's the thing about Aruba. Tons of beaches. In fact, some of the nicest beaches in the world. Eagle Beach was absolutely beautiful. Palm Beach, which is kind of where all the hotels and resorts are. Our favorite beach was Boca Catalina, which is actually just down the road from Tres Trapi. Tres Trapi is kind of a rock formation that goes down into a place where you can swim out and swim with sea turtles. And so we actually went there one morning. Amanda went out. I stayed with the girls just because it was really hard for them to get in the water and swim out there. Amanda went out, swam with some turtles. But then we just went down just a little bit further to Boca Catalina. We were able to grab a little cabana, walk in. There's a sand area where the girls could play. It's nice and quiet as well. And then from there, I could swim over. And so I did. I swam over and swam with turtles as well. So it's not that far away. So if we were to go back, we had talked about how we would probably hit up Boca Catalina. It's away from the hubbub. Nice little spot. Bring some chairs. You probably need some your own chairs and things like that, but it would be a great place to hang out as well. A couple other spots that I think are worth seeing if you go to Aruba, the ruins and the natural bridge. Man, it's not that far of a drive. It looks like it's a far drive on the map. You kind of go right through the middle of the island, through some neighborhood area, things like that. It may take 15 minutes to get to that side of the island, the north side, if you will. There's ruins. There's a natural bridge. I will say this. This is one of the areas where all the dune buggies go, the off-road vehicles, because the concrete ends and it's just dirt roads. But it's a little, man, it's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Could film some movie scenes out there. Great, great spot to go and hang out. If it was just a man and I, probably would take a little picnic up there and sit and just listen to the waves crash. Very, very beautiful. I would also say, like to mention some spots we hit up. So you know me, I like coffee. Hit up Island Grind Coffee, hit up Santos a couple times. And so the coffee is good. I didn't have a bad cup of coffee no matter where I went. We also hit up Eduardo's Beach Shack where Amanda and the girls got an acai bowl. We went to a place called Local Store and we picked up burgers and sandwiches and actually took those back to the Airbnb. They were delicious as well. We went to a restaurant called Oak. One of our friends recommended a place called Oak, which was by reservation only. And when we went online to find a reservation, it was really overbooked. But I ended up calling the day before and just saying, hey, do you have any openings for tomorrow? We'd like to come in right when you open. No problem. They got us a reservation. And Oak was expensive. It was definitely the most expensive meal we've had as a family in a long time. But it was great. Very, very good food. And so I probably wouldn't recommend taking the kids back there, although the kids were fine. They had a kids' meal. They ate good. But it was delicious. One place we went, which was just okay, we went for breakfast to Wilhelm's Dutch Pancake House. It was okay. If we went back, I would try a different pancake house. I felt like it was just blah, to be honest with you. It wasn't bad, just wasn't super, super great. If you go there, make sure you find out a place to snorkel. Definitely do an off-road trip or an ATV rental thing. Make sure you hit up the beach, things like that. There are a couple all-inclusive resorts. I snuck on to a couple of them and checked things out, which is kind of concerning because at other all-inclusives in different countries, the security is extremely high. But for whatever reason, I was able to walk on two different all-inclusives, check out things. Actually, the girls swam at one of the pools. And so the all-inclusives seemed like they were a great place, but they weren't very secluded, nor were they very private in the sense of there was access on and off, which honestly, it probably goes to speak of the security of the island, but for us, it's just something I noticed. Now, let's talk about departure. What is up with that four-hour rule? Well, we did some research, and the reason that they ask you to get to there 4 hours early is because they do U.S. border control inspection on departure instead of arrival. So whereas you go to Mexico, you fly back into the United States, they check your passport when you get on the plane, but you don't actually go through border patrol customs until you land in the United States. However, in Aruba, they have it on departure. So here's the process. You go, you arrive at the airport, you check in, make sure you check in, you check your bags, you go through departure customs. For us, once we checked our bags, we got into a long, long line that was kind of taking forever. In fact, they split it and took us to a different line, and they had two different lines going. It was taking a long, long time, you go through departure customs, which is basically they're checking your IDs. They're making sure that you are we're supposed to be in the country and that you're supposed to be leaving the country. Once you go through that, you go get in another line. You go find your bags. Once you collect your bags, then you get into U.S. Border Patrol line. Now, this is where if you do have global entry, they do split the line. And global entry would probably save you 30 minutes to an hour, at least when we were going through. Our girls at the time did not have global entry. We tried to sneak them through. They said no. We tried to leave them. They said no. So we all went through the regular line, and it took us probably 45 minutes longer than had we been able to use the global entry line. So once you go through U.S. Border Patrol, show your passports, things like that, you recheck your bag, and then you go up into the departure terminal. Now, they have two lounges in the departure terminal. The departure terminal is just kind of one long hallway, and as you come up the stairs, there is a lounge that's only two gates over, and most people go down to that lounge. In fact, as I came around the corner, that lounge was overflowing, very, very small, not many options, it seems to be kind of stressed to the max. But I was like, this seems to be the lounge. However, as I did some research, what I found out was seven gates the other way, which is quite a decent walk, there is another lounge and no one is in it. And that lounge is even bigger. So if you have priority pass, if you have access to these lounges, once you go up the stairs, go down to the left lounge instead of to the right lounge. In the lounge, they have TV screens telling you what flights are landing and delaying and departing, all of these things. And so you can keep up with what's going on. They have restrooms there, and they also will let you just kind of walk out to make sure you're not missing anything and come back in if you want to as well. Friends, that is Aruba. A little bit there for you about what we did and what I recommend for you. I definitely would go back. Originally, first day, my wife was like, I don't know. By the time we left, she said Aruba had her heart. So Aruba is an amazing place. It will definitely be a place we return to. And it's a place you should consider going, especially if you can find a deal. Friends, we'll catch you next time on the Nieces Nugs podcast.